Well, hallelujah. Palm Sunday, hallelujah. Palm Sunday. The countdown to Resurrection Sunday, would that be? Is that the one we're talking about? John chapter 12. Let's go in there and see what we can discover today. Let's look at verse 12 down to 19. John 12, 12. The next day the crowd had come for the festival, heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Have you gone after him? Palm Sunday. What can we say about that today that's not been said before? Well, for those who are not quite sure what this is, this prequel to next Sunday, Psalm Sunday marks the beginning of what is often called Passion Week. Now, who doesn't like a bit of passion? Let's be honest. I don't know why my wife is laughing hysterically. God bless her. Passion Week or Holy Week. Passion Week is the time from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday. And it was given that name because of the emotional and physical suffering that Jesus went through on our behalf. Praise God. Demonstrating at that time his incredible, wonderful, amazing love, his great passion for you and I. Aren't you thankful? Now, of course, let's put this in context. Of course, the suffering and love Jesus had for us is not something that we reflect on just one week of the year, is it? As many do. Rather, this is something that we remember throughout our lives, and our celebration of what Jesus did should be directly reflected by how we live our lives on a day-to-day basis. Praise God. Let me tell you something. I and you no longer live under the bondage of sin. I said that last week in Ghana and the place erupted. No longer do we live under the bondage of sin. But listen, I'm not finished. Clap at the end. We no longer live under that sin of bondage, because what took place during this week of our lives should reflect a direct freedom. A freedom that we should reflect on a daily basis. Church, I don't know about you. Maybe you're still in this condition. I am no longer walking around with a guilty verdict over me. No, sir. No, sir. It's not on my head. I'm not doomed any longer for some kind of eternal judgment. And our lives, my life, must reflect that weight of guilt has been lifted off of me. Praise God. So while, what is Palm Sunday again? While it is a celebration this week, and it is, absolutely is. Let me say it this way. This is only an extension of our daily celebration of Jesus Christ. That's all this really is. So, for a wee while today, I want to talk about this first day of Passion Week called Palm Sunday. And I want to put it in context so you know exactly what's going on and where the joy and where the excitement truly comes from. The story begins like this. Jesus has just left a meal with Lazarus, which is quite exciting in itself, because he was dead. That's a celebration in itself. But now he's having supper with Jesus. Mary and Martha are there, and they're walking with these guys and the disciples down towards the holy city known as Jerusalem. And as they came to the Mount of Olives, directly outside the gate of the city of Jerusalem, Jesus instructed two of his disciples to go into a certain village and find a donkey with a colt and bring both to him. Scripture says the disciples did exactly as they were told, and they lay their outer robes on the colt. Hallelujah. And Jesus sat on it. Is that for me? Cross on its back. I got that one. I was coming to that. So we'll leave that bit out now. And as they were coming down the mountain, get the scene of the gates of Jerusalem, the word has spread. The word has spread of what Jesus has done. He's raised Lazarus from the dead. He's now coming towards the city, riding on a colt. And immediately you discover, no wonder, the people ran out to meet him. They cut down palm branches, laying them in the street as Jesus rode by. And they were shouting, I'll quote this time from Matthew 21, verse 9. The crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You see the similarities in Scripture between Christmas and Easter. Glory to God in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. All pointing towards the one person. Praise God. All these things are symbolic. All these things taking place, they are actions and words at this time which were only reserved for a king. Are you hearing this? And up until that day, you see, this day, 2,000 years ago, is significant. It's significant because up until that day, Jesus had not really announced or described himself as a king. Up until that day, Jesus had more or less stayed in the background and avoided the accolades. Up until this particular day, he had used imagery and signs to show people who he was. But on this day, glory to God, on this day, hallelujah, he allowed his disciples to place their clothing on the colt for him to sit on, something only done or reserved for a king. On this particular day, folks, 2,000 years ago, Jesus allowed the crowds to address him as a king would be addressed. On this day, for some reason, Jesus did not shun the accolades, but seemed to embrace them. What was it about this first Palm Sunday? What is shifting? What is taking place? What's happened in the heavenlies on that day that's directly affecting earth? Let me tell you, this is the day. This is the day Jesus says, I'm going to begin to reveal myself in a much more public way. This is the day I begin to show my reason for coming in a much less mysterious way. What is so significant? Let me tell you, that day, that started the countdown to the event that all of creation had been waiting for, the moment the curse of sin would completely be defeated over our lives and over his creation. Amen. And I think, just listen to this, I think, how long have we got the day? I could go long in this one. I think to do this justice in understanding this, we have to travel back in time. We have to travel back to the book of Genesis. We have to make our way throughout the entire Bible this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we'll do it in 15 minutes. That's how good he is. Bible's open again. Let's go for it. In the beginning, hallelujah, We have the creation of humanity. In the beginning, you'll discover everything. Not some things, James. Everything was perfect. Are you hearing this? Can you imagine that? Living in the perfect world, unspoiled, untouched. Everything is perfect. And then we have, quickly, the fall. Instigated by the temptation of the serpent. And all of a sudden, everything looked hopeless because man has now been separated from his creator. He had now brought himself under the curse of sin and the judgment of God. But listen, in the midst of this chaos, in the midst of this test or trial, in the midst of this hopelessness, God comes with a word of promise. And it is a word of hope for humanity. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity, glory, between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. And he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Oh, amen. Oh, amen and hallelujah, because see that right there? If you haven't figured that out, there is a direct reference right there to a day, hallelujah, to a day when the serpent would be defeated by the offspring of the woman. Oh, you're lost. You're lost. You see, that offspring that we're talking about is none other than the person of Jesus. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And Palm Sunday, let me tell you, started the countdown to that day. Hallelujah. Then you go to Abraham when God called him and God promised him in Genesis 12 verses 2 and 3. He says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. And you'll be a blessing to others. Amen. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Glory to God. Again, this was a promise that every culture, every color, every tribe, and every tongue, and every continent would be blessed through Abraham's lineage. And that blessing was none other than Jesus. Hallelujah. And Palm Sunday, glory to God, started the countdown to that day. Then can you remember the events of Mount Moriah? Glory. As God spoke to Abraham and commanded that he sacrifice his son Isaac. The story goes that as the knife is coming down in Abraham's hand, the angel of the Lord stopped him, and Abraham looked up and saw a ram. It was a ram that God had provided. It was a ram who took Isaac's place as a sacrifice. A ram that symbolized the day a sacrifice would be made for all the nations of the earth to be blessed by. And that sacrifice was none other than Jesus. Anyone getting this? I think it's lovely. Palm Sunday started the countdown to that day. Then you fast forward and you find Abraham's descendants. By this time, the tribe of Israel are enslaved in the land of Egypt. No hope of escaping their bondage until the night God commanded each family to slay a lamb and sprinkle its blood, hallelujah, on the doorposts of their homes. And in doing so, their families were saved from the judgment of God poured out that night on the land of Egypt, pointing again to a day, pointing to a day. I wonder what day that was, but pointing to a day right there when the final lamb would be slain, whose blood would wash away the stain and sin of man and save man directly from the wrath of God. And that lamb we're talking about was none other than Jesus. Hallelujah. Palm Sunday started the countdown to that day. Hallelujah. Because then we need to look at the sacrificial system here of the tabernacle. And thank God we sung about the blood. It was centered around the blood in the Old Testament of animals. And Leviticus explains why in Leviticus 17 verse 11 says, for the life of a creature is in the blood. We're going to come back to the blood next month. We're going to come back to that and talk a little bit about that. And I have given it to you to make an atonement for yourselves on the altar. Listen to this. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. In God's eyes, blood is life. Hallelujah. When an animal was sacrificed and the blood was poured there on the altar, it was the life of the animal for the life of the sinner. The blood declared life to everyone it was shed for. Praise God. And that's not all. You look at Hebrews 9:22. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. Everything. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. None whatsoever. So when you look at that, they sprinkle blood on the utensils used in the tabernacle. They sprinkle blood on the tent itself. They sprinkle blood right there on the priest. And Moses goes even further. He takes hold of a branch of hyssop, dipped it in the blood, and sprinkled it all over the people. Oh, how we need the blood. Glory to God. And everything, listen to this, everything the blood touched was now considered holy as unto the Lord. In other words, the blood of the sacrifice not only gave life, but when sprinkled on you and on me, it made you and I a living vessel that now belonged directly to God. You at that time and I became sanctified. At that time, we became set apart for God's purposes. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Because not only that, but before the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies, which was where the presence of God dwelt, the blood of a bull had to be shed and then sprinkled on the mercy seat. So the only way into the presence of God was by the shedding of blood. However, and stay with me here, the Old Testament blood of the animals was nothing more than a temporary substitute that had to be done repeatedly over and over and over again. Hallelujah. But on the day Jesus was sacrificed, hallelujah, on the day Jesus was sacrificed, his blood gave eternal life. Yes, it did. Absolutely. His blood marked us as the eternal property of God. This is what's going on. His blood then gave us eternal access into the presence of God. His blood did what an animal's blood simply cannot do. What am I saying? I'm saying Jesus' blood forever washed away our sins, never to be remembered again. On that day, everything in the entire universe changed forever. Ever and ever. That's why we sing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing. Stop. Stop. So, what can wash away my sin? What's the next word? Nothing. Are you hearing this? There's no other way. His blood had to be spilt to make a way for you and I. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And Palm Sunday, glory to God, Palm Sunday started the countdown to that blessed day, that incredible day. Listen to this. There's another place I need to look. And it's the writing of the prophets. Just not long. I want to look at two, just two real quickly. I'm going to ask you to stand for this first reading. It's so vitally important to the church. And it, you know, it's Isaiah 53. We need to stand as the church when we read this together. I'll read it through. Just open your hands and open your heart and just get a picture of what the Messiah has done. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind. A man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom his people hid their faces, he was despised. And we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced, glory to God, for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds, hallelujah, we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. God will bless that word. Please take your seats. Listen, church. I want you to understand what this day is. Palm Sunday started the countdown. It started the countdown for the day the suffering servant would take our place on the cross. Palm Sunday started the countdown for the day the rejected one would pay the price so that we would be accepted. Palm Sunday started the countdown for the day the sinless Son of God would carry our sins to the cross. Palm Sunday started the countdown to the day when the innocent Lamb of God would suffer as a guilty criminal so our guilt could be removed. Aren't you thankful today? Aren't you thankful today? Hallelujah. There's a second prophet in here that we need to look at quickly. Zechariah prophesied about 500 years before this first Palm Sunday. And he says, interestingly, he says in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, he said, rejoice. He said, rejoice, O people of Zion. Okay, now another interpretation in there says, be full of joy, O people of Zion. There's another up-to-date, trendy version which says, have joy. And I like that one. Have it. In other words, it's for you. Just take it. So I'm saying to the people of Zion, have it. Just have it. Don't fight it. Don't resist it. Don't reject it. Open your heart. Have joy. And let your life be full of joy. Be full of joy. Have joy. Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph. O people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt with a cross at the back. Rejoice, O people of Zion! That's us, by the way. We are the holy mount now. We are Mount Zion now. We've taken that place. We are God's spiritual descendancy. We are his children. So we come under the banner, under the umbrella of this prophecy here. Rejoice, looking forward. Palm Sunday is significant. Why? Because God ordained it to be the day that Jesus would be proclaimed the victorious King of the universe. But what we don't want to miss is what the prophet actually pointed out. He says, I see, do you? Because 2,000 years ago, they saw, but still missed. I see a victorious, righteous king riding into Jerusalem. But he is not riding in as a victorious king would do. Can you see him today? Can you see the King of Glory today? I tell you, there's coming a day when he's coming in the clouds with fire. Absolutely guaranteed. He's not riding at this time, though, on a beautiful stallion. No, he's not doing that. He's not riding in with pomp at all and circumstance. He's not riding in to show off his power. He's riding in the colt of a donkey, humble and meek. Why? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus came to conquer sin, not man. He came to defeat sin, and he did, hallelujah, not man. He came as a servant to offer his body for our salvation. He came not to destroy, but to give hope. This was his message. He came as the Prince of Peace, offering all who would trust him a peace that passes all human understanding. Church, it is a peace that will not only keep you in this life, but a peace that will keep you in the life to come. He came to destroy the works of sin. Listen, church, and to give the kind of life that outlasts this world's difficulties. That's what he did, Palm Sunday. Hallelujah. It speaks of Jesus, praise God, as the one who conquered death, hell, and the grave. He did it all. I'm just simply saying, it's a battle I cannot win on my own. I need to see Jesus, believe in Jesus, and receive Jesus as my King and as my Lord. I cannot do this without Jesus, which finally leads us to another countdown taking place right now. One that is directly related to the one that I have spoken about this morning. It is the countdown to the day, listen church, I don't want to be bleak, but it is the countdown to the day when you and I will stand before our humble King, who rode into town on a donkey and gave his life for mankind's redemption. The donkey symbolizes his peaceful coming. His beautiful, peaceful coming, coming to seek and save that which was lost, that's you and I, coming as the sacrificial lamb to atone for our sins. In Luke's gospel, we see Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. We see him demonstrating his sorrow for its coming destruction as well as for those who reject him and the salvation that he brings. Let me tell you something. This is a great contrast to his second coming, when he will come on a horse, a stallion, bringing judgment. It's a contrast. Would you stand as we close this up this morning? I want you to close your eyes and hear John's words from Revelation. It's Palm Sunday. Hallelujah. Listen to what John said. The key word is saw. We're praying that God will give us clarity and vision and sight today so that we will not miss Jesus, but we'll see Jesus and recognize him for who he is, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer, the lover of our souls. John said, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, glory, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. Listen to this. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Church, this week, all believers all over the earth are gathering, and they're laying down their lives before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As we come to a close, can we come to this Palm Sunday? I'm not saying come to the altar. I'm saying come with your worship. Rededicate your life. Will you stand in awe of him today? Will you stand before him and look full in his glorious face? See, Hosanna, you heard that already, simply means in Hebrew, save us. Save me. It's what you say to your king, because that's exactly what your king came to do. Shout for joy to your king who comes in the name of the Lord. Father, accept these next few moments of adoration and worship, and may we take ourselves back to that first Palm Sunday. And may we not miss you. May we not depart from you 6 days later, 5 days later. May we stay the course of faithfulness, of faithful servants who love you, Jesus.